of Christ, that we continue to hold on to your unchanged hand. And Lord, we pray it be you for your service. And Lord, we pray for all who may be in trial, Lord, just bless him, just make him here and be a part of this blessed ship. And Lord, we just pray that we don't grow weary and we are doing the that we put forth. And Lord, we just pray that we continue, that you continue cleaning from all righteous and purify us, Lord. We love you with nothing out you that bless us throughout this. In your son, Jesus' name we pray. Bless amen.
Amen. Amen. We have with us tonight Brother Al Franks, who needs hardly any introduction to all of us in this area, Mississippi, around the state, and probably around most of the world, because there are over 30,000 issues of the Magnolia Messenger that goes out to people across America and parts of the world. And what a blessing it is to have him tonight. He'll lead off with us, and he'll end in about 25 minutes or so, or a lesson. And then we'll take a moment to sing another song together, as I mentioned, this song. And then he'll do a second part tonight. And then we'll finish up with that. We'll do our question and answer procedure from you as well as from the board tonight. Good to have Brother Al here today with us. And Brother Al, if you'll come now.
I am very honored and blessed to be with you tonight. I want to thank you for inviting me to come and be with you for this special effort. I do know that the ones who planned this program are deeply interested in the growth of the Lord's church. We want to see every congregation growing. And I know that's certainly true with you who call Durant your home church. So it's truly a blessing to be with you. And I'm looking forward to both lessons that we hope to present tonight. My wife usually goes with me wherever I go. But we are having Vacation Bible School in Kosciuszko tonight and tomorrow night. And again on Wednesday evening. And so she felt it would be helpful if she could stay there and represent our family with the VBS that's going on in Kosciuszko. So again, it's good to see you. Glad we can be together and talk about the world's greatest institution, the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's great because Jesus died for it. And anything that you're willing to die for must be of great value. I'm grateful that I could be a part of the church that Jesus was willing to give his life for. And I know I speak for each of you. What a blessing it is to be a part of the world's greatest institution. I do believe, however, that my information about what I was to speak on tonight may not have been exactly what Brother Robert had in mind. And so since I have not yet learned exactly what he had in mind, I'll go ahead and present what I had planned to speak on. But it's all a part of the effort to build up the body of Christ. I can assure you that this lesson will fit in, I think, very well with the overall theme that we're discussing this week. I'd like to invite you, if you would, to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The first few verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, is predicting that there will be a falling away that will involve teachers teaching false doctrines. And he tells Timothy to be prepared for that. And he also tells Timothy to warn the brethren, to tell them about what's going to happen and get them prepared for the departure that would come about during these latter times. In verse 6, the Bible says, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. If you put the brethren in mind of these things. Now, Timothy was a preacher. Mm-hmm. And some of us can certainly identify with him. And Paul is telling him that he has responsibilities as a preacher. And his job is to put the brethren in mind of these things that he had just written, as well as all the contents of the book of 1 Timothy, as well as other inspired scriptures. And he told Timothy, if you'll do this, you will be a good minister. I tell you, that's what I want to be, as a good minister. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ if you will remind brethren of what they may already know. You know, if you're reminded of something, the indication is you've already heard it for once at least. And we all need reminders, don't we? Every once in a while, my wife indicates to me that she would like for me to tell her again what I've already told her in the past. Like, I love you. She likes to be reminded that love is still there.
Right.
And as Christians, we need to be reminded. It's easy to forget. Mm-hmm. It's easy to sort of get your mind on so many other things that you just sort of put this other in the background, and maybe it doesn't have as much of an influence on you as it needs to. And so reminders are good. By the way, I think that's one reason that the Lord indicates in His Word that He wants us to observe the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, because we need to be reminded. And He said, as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Right. The giving of His body, the shedding of His blood, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we do it every first day of the week, as a reminder of the sacrifice that God made, the sacrifice that Jesus made, for us, being reminded. So put the brethren in mind of these things, and you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Among other things, we get down to verse number 11. In verse 11, he said, these things command and teach. Now, he's talking about all of what he said in chapter 4, as well as before that, and no doubt after that, in this epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy. These things command and teach. It's a great responsibility. There is authority that goes with teaching the Word of God. If we're teaching the Word of God, it's important. And people need to sit up and listen and pay attention. And so Paul told Timothy, you command these things. You teach these things. And then we come to verse 12, which is the verse that somehow I thought was the theme of the lectureship. And let's look at it for just a moment. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in word, in conversation or manner of life, in charity or in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Let me say this before I go any further. If we really want to build up the church, we must start with verses just like this. We need to realize that as members of the church, it's our responsibility to set the right kind of example. You know, if we don't live right,
right,
even though we teach what's right, it's not going to have a lot of influence. We need to back up with our lives what we teach with our lips. And Paul told Timothy, you are an example of the believers. You represent Christ.
Amen.
You are the church to many people. You know, some people know that you are a member of the Durant Church of Christ. But you may be the only one that they know who is a member of this church. And so the way you act,
Amen.
The way you talk, the things that you do,
mm-hmm.
we need to be sure it's the best possible example.
Uh-huh.
And so Paul is telling Timothy, be an example of the believers. I was richly blessed in that I had godly parents, Christians, parents, who taught me the way of the Lord when I was a very young person. I chose to become a Christian by obeying the gospel, through showing my faith in Christ, repentance of sins, confessing His wonderful name in the audience of fellow Christians, and being baptized into Christ. I made that choice very early in life. And I remember when I decided to become a Christian, I decided that I also wanted to be a preacher. It just seems to me that they fit together. To become a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, I wanted to encourage other people to be a follower of Christ. And so I became a Christian at a very young age. And I was sort of known in my school as the boy preacher. And that used to bother me a good bit because I was so young, like 12 years old, preaching almost every week. By the time I was 14, I was preaching every week. When I was 16, I started preaching regularly for a church of over 100 people. What I'm telling you is this verse meant a lot to me back when I was real young. Because I could tell that some people didn't really respect me and what I was saying because I was so young. And here Timothy was told, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. He said, the way you counteract that is you set the right kind of example. In other words, if you set the right kind of example, you'll get the attention of people. They'll know you're not just, it's not just a show, it's not just something that's a fad in your life, but you're sincere, you're backing it up with your living. I believe that principle holds true today. If we want to grow the church, we're going to have gospel preaching backed up by godly living. And we're going to all have to give attention to being a good example. Be a good example. And he names five areas in which we are to be good examples. And Brother Robert, this is what I thought I was supposed to talk about. That I was going to talk about the first two of these five.
That's right.
And let me go over those again.
Mm-hmm.
He said, be an example of the believers in word, in manner of life. The King James Version says conversation, and it's more than just conversation. It's your way of living. It's your conduct that the Bible is talking about. And also in charity, or as we would say, in love. Be an example in love. And be an example in spirit, in faith, and in purity. In purity. So let's go back and look at the first of these. I believe I said five. It may be one, two, three, four, five, six statements. Six areas in which we're told to be examples of the believers in the presence of other people. First of all, he said, be an example in word. You know, what you say does matter. When people get to know you, they really begin to think they know you mainly because of what you say. I can look at Brother Williams, and if I never hear him say a word, I won't really get to know him. Or unless someone tells me a lot about him, I won't get to know him. You look at my face, you don't really know very much about me. You may think, well, he's not very handsome. And you're right. Although, every once in a while, when I tell my wife I love her, she'll tell me, you're handsome. I hope she's more sincere than I sometimes think she may be.
She is.
But we're known by our words. I tell you what, brother, it's important that we set the right kind of example by the way we speak. Can someone really know that you are a devoted follower of Christ by listening to you talk? I hope so. That's important. Very important. Your words are important. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the book of Proverbs. Now, that's a wonderful book. So many great things are taught in this book of wisdom. And a lot of it has to do with the way we talk. Now, there are positive things that we can say about words, and there are a lot of negative things that can be said about words. For example, in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible tells us that there are six things that God hates. And then for emphasis, he said, yes, there are really seven things that are an abomination in the sight of God. Now, God hates all seven of them. All seven are an abomination in the sight of God. And one of them has to do with our speech. If we don't use this God-given gift in the way that God wants us to, the gift of speech can become a curse. Misusing speech is contrary to God's will. For example, look at verse 17. Among those things that God hates, among those things that are an abomination in the sight of God, are number one, a proud look. But the second one, look at it, a lying tongue. Lie. How could you be a good example of the believers if you couldn't be trusted to tell the truth? The devil is called the father of liars. He lied for the first lie. The devil spoke it. You know, that's whenever he said that you won't die to Eve if you eat of the forbidden fruit. And Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. A lying tongue should never characterize a follower of Christ. Is your word your bond? If you say something, is that really the way you're going to act? You're going to carry through with what you say? They say promises are like pie crust or something like that. They're not made to be broken. God cannot lie. And we're to do our very best to be like him. He also says in verse 19 that God hates a false witness that speaks lies. But now there are some good things about the tongue that I think we might ought to emphasize. Look at chapter 10 in the book of Proverbs, verse 11. The Bible says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. I grew up in southwest Louisiana, and we had a dug well from which we got our water. It was about 3 feet in 3 feet across, made out of concrete. The walls of the well were probably about 15 feet deep. But down in the bottom was this good, clear water. And we lived on that. If we hadn't had water from some source, of course we couldn't have lived. The Bible says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Oh, how wonderful, what a blessing speech is. And we need to use it rightly. In chapter 15 of the book of Proverbs, by the way, this is my wife's favorite verse in the book of Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Many of the Proverbs are contrast. What the right action can bring about and what the wrong action can bring about, and they're opposite each other. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. A soft answer turns away wrath. And listen again to another passage from the book of Proverbs. Chapter 15 and verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and the word spoken in due season, how good is it? Our words are important. We're judged by what we say. Not only by that, but that's where it starts. And so let me remind you that it is important that we be careful how we talk. One of the Proverbs says there's power of death in words. There's also the power of life in words. And we need very much to keep in mind to set the right kind of example in our words. I'm going to take just a moment and look at the book of James with you. James chapter 3. Talking about words and how important our words are and how we need to set the right kind of example in what we say. This chapter shows us that words is the way that God conveys His message to man. You and I became acquainted with Jesus Christ because some words were spoken. The gospel is to be preached. It is to be taught. That's how I learned about Jesus. Somebody talked to me and read to me. And I heard sermons, heard Bible classes that reminded me of what God had done for me in that He sent His Son. But it's all through words. And you and I, as Christians, we can use our ability to speak that God has given to us to convey the message of salvation to those who are lost. It's a great responsibility. And the Bible does say that those who teach are going to receive heavier judgment. That is, if we know what to do and we don't do it, and yet we teach it, that God is not looking favorably upon us in that way. The Bible says that in many things, verse 2, we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So that tells us it's rather difficult to keep our words in control. And so that's why we need to be careful in our speech. He talks about how that we put bits in the horse's mouths that we may be able to guide that horse in the direction we want. The ships have rudders, which compared to the ship is very, very small, but yet that rudder can steer that ship out in the great big ocean. And so your tongue is a very little member, but your tongue is an important part that helps determine who you are and what kind of example you are before others. The Bible says in verse 8 of James chapter 3, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. He compares that to animals. You know, you have a good animal trainer, he can train just about any kind of animal. But you'll never get to the point that you can feel confident that you don't have to guard your tongue. Have you ever gotten angry at somebody and said something you wish you hadn't said? See, we have these moments of weakness when maybe our emotions are stirred within us and we say things that later we wish we'd never said. But remember, words can never be unspoken. That's why I think James wrote, "Be slow to speak." So we are to be an example in our speech. Let me make it as practical as I know how in just a few moments that I'll stop on this lesson, with this lesson. I got to know a couple of people in Yazoo City very well. I learned they were prominent members of a particular church in town, not the church where I was attending and preaching, but another church in town. And as I got to know them, I realized they were not very careful about what they said. Their speech gave away who they really were down deep in their heart. Your speech tells a lot about you. We need to be careful about the language we use. We need to be careful about using profanity. My wife and I stop at a little restaurant sometimes up at Matheson, Mississippi. It's called Traceway or Midway or something. I believe Traceway Restaurant. And they have a little sign, maybe a couple of them in the building, which says, "No profanity." By the way, we visited a church in Hattiesburg and noticed there was a sign out front on their building that said, "No profanity." Why would you have to put that up in the church building? You know why, don't you? Because Christians sometimes don't watch what they say. That's not being a good example. How are you going to influence someone for Christ if they think of you as a foul-mouthed person who's not careful what you say? Words spoken like that can do a lot of damage to the cause of Christ. But on the other hand, words that are spoken in kindness and in love can be very attractive to people. If we want the people of our community to respect us as a sincere, dedicated group of people, then we need to set the right kind of example by our speech and be very, very careful about it. Jesus said that by our words we will be justified, or by our words we will be condemned. He said also, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof at the day of judgment." So it's no question as to why Paul told Timothy, "I want you to set a good example in word. Be careful what you say." Let me summarize it and conclude by saying that while we want to be careful we don't say the wrong things, let's give careful attention that we say the right things. And everybody needs to hear the message of salvation, which is conveyed by our words. Sometimes the words are written, many times they're spoken, but they're still words. So let's be a good example in words. And I believe this will help build up the church in Durant. If you live right and you teach right, what else can you do? If that doesn't attract people, that's all we've got is the truth, the Word of God, and we've got to speak it. Speak the truth in love. You remember what Paul said? Ephesians chapter 4? That will help build up the church wherever we may be. In just a little bit, we'll come back and we'll talk about our conduct. In addition to our speech, let's talk about our manner of life to help build up the cause of Jesus that we represent as Christians and the area in which we are examples. I close by saying, may God help me. May God help you to be the very best example we can be in our community. So when somebody sees us, they'll know that person's trying to live for God. Be good examples. Thank you.
Let's sing verses 1 and 3 of 490. 490. You will stand with me, please. As well as my soul. 490. When peace finally